This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. It's that time of year again where we get ready for back to school, and that means that we get to do another show with the Connecticut Education Association President, Kate Diaz. Kate, welcome to the show. We have done this now, I think, the last 2 years, so this makes for three straight years. Welcome back on the show.
Well, thank you, Morgan. I'm always happy to talk back to school.
You know, there are so many topics and so many issues that we've been following over the last few years, just doing Face Connecticut alone. And before I took over Face Connecticut, we were talking about different issues even before then. And one that has been getting a lot of attention, we'll just start with this one because it's pretty new, is cell phones in schools. We've been talking about this the last few months. Governor Lamont has wanted some kind of action to either get cell phones out of school or restrict the use in classrooms. And we're finally getting to a point where it seems as if we are making a step toward that. So could you just start off by giving us an explanation, your understanding of what this guidance is for local schools to adopt?
Well, I think the guidance is recognizing that cell phones and the sort of subsequent access to social media and sort of all the different platforms that cell phones open up have become a challenge for us in terms of creating the climate in the schools that we want, the learning opportunities for our students, and have gone beyond being just a simple distraction to being an impediment to learning and an impediment for us to be able to do the work we need to do in schools in a proper and meaningful way for our students. And so I think, you know, the governor has certainly put his perspective out there and is interested in a whole-scale ban, but we recognize that communities need to do this work together, that where sort of the prohibition around cell phones has gone into effect and it's been done well, it's been done by the community, get it coming together, recognizing the need that's being met, and also being able to troubleshoot and say, listen, as parents, what are your concerns and how do we manage those? So I do believe that the guidance is intended to be a jumping off point and encouragement for our districts who maybe haven't done this conversation yet to really start getting involved and putting together something that is a plan that they can both get behind and enforce and as a community adopt.
I want to see, Kate, how we got to this point particularly, okay? So I graduated high school exactly 10 years ago. And at that point in time, yes, cell phones were a distraction, but generally speaking, at least in my school, people knew when you could use them, when you couldn't. And it was, in a way, seen as a tool, maybe to help with research here or there, you know, a resource that you could sometimes use in school. But 10 years later, now I'm hearing, and I'm not in school, obviously, but I'm hearing from people who are in school or have kids in school that it's hard for the kids to separate themselves from these devices, that it has become a problem for teachers because the teachers are struggling to get their lessons out because they're focusing on trying to rein kids in when it comes to the cell phone usage. So could you explain to me where this has gone in the last, say, 10 years, where there's been more of this reliance, more students who are distracted by cell phones and the content that's on them?
So I think some of it is, you're absolutely right. You know, I remember when cell phones sort of came out, I was teaching and, you know, we were really doing more of that, guys, don't text in class, right? Or, you know, no, you can't take the phone call in class. You know, we had sort of this rather benign kind of negotiation of time and space about what's appropriate. However, as the evolution of the devices, you know, they've become more complex, they're accessed, they're effectively really mini computers. We've kind of had to navigate the fact that this is no longer simple texting and phone calls. This is really sort of the entire world being able to encroach on a classroom. And so as the devices themselves have become more adaptable to the different platforms, and they've created access points for our students that is much more extreme. We also know that 10 years later, some of our students have developed addictions, and that creates another layer of challenge, right? That has, this is research-based, that we know that it becomes harder and harder for students to put these devices away. They are really accustomed to the immediate constant access that is really sort of penetrating every moment of their waking lives. And so the challenge today is very different than it was. You know, as early adopter of technology, we really did try and say, okay, how do we utilize these things in a meaningful way? How do we teach responsibility? You know, we kind of went down that road of not trying to prohibit access. But we weren't successful in the grand scheme of things. These devices are very intrusive. The ways that we have students kind of using them as the social media, the TikTok challenges we've seen that have kind of gotten into our schools.
CEA President Kate Diaz is my guest on Face Connecticut this morning. Let's go grade level by grade level, elementary to middle to high school, Kate, because I'm looking specifically at the guidance that was released this week from the Connecticut Department of Education, and they have some general recommendations here. And in elementary school, and also dating myself further, when I was in elementary school and we had flip phones, it was really just in case you had to call mom and dad for some kind of an emergency. And that was the understanding of a flip phone in my era of elementary school. But obviously the reliance has become much, much more different for young kids in particular. And this guidance says that school students should not have their devices, that the schools should focus to remove cell phones from the classroom to maximize academic, social, and emotional development. Could you comment on what that means for that particular grade level?
Well, certainly I understand, you know, this is where we're trying to balance the parents' interest in trying to create access with their children and communication and truly the developmentally appropriate lens for our students. Young children don't need to be distracted in school. There's plenty of distractions just inherently by being a young child, right? Like, we recognize that developmentally, we need to recognize that the students don't necessarily have the same level of impulse control or developed sense of timing, right, and appropriateness. Those are the skills we're seeking to develop in that time frame. So in elementary school, it makes sense to say there is no need for a cell phone at any point in time during the day to be accessible and to have a very strong statement. Now, the good news is that we're talking to our teachers and they're saying that's not really a problem. Developmentally, most of those children, on the grand scheme of things, if you say to them, put your cell phone in your backpack or put it in, you know, whatever kind of secured location, most of those students go, oh, okay, and have a great sense of compliance with that particular rule. They haven't really maybe developed the same level of attachment. So often we're not finding that the great debate over cell phones is in elementary. Oftentimes those rules are generally supported, accepted, and understood. Where it gets a little trickier is in the middle and high school, where some of the dependency on the device for a lot of socialization comes into play. Then we start to see a little bit more of that defiant behavior, that notion of, you know, I don't want you to take this away from me. It's my life source, right? It's my access to my friends. We know that a lot of families rely on those devices for before and after school communication, occasionally in-school communication, which I would ask parents to please not do that. That creates challenges. We certainly know that If parents need to get a hold of their students during the school day, we recognize the need to do that. And we'd always say and encourage them to access the school office to help facilitate that. But we realize that there's a desire to create that communication between the households. And we're not trying to say that that's a bad thing. What we are saying is that during the school day, we need to keep our focus on the prize, which is the education, the learning environment, the development of all those social-emotional skills that are really critical. And we need to be able to do that free from as many distractions as possible. And I would say that if parents want to really understand that, all they need to do is look at their child's cell phone and see what they're actually doing during the school day. They're going to find that they're not communicating with their parents, that they're on different apps, they're doing other communication between the, you know, student body members, right? Like, they're not emailing and texting their parents during the school day. That's not what's taking up the bulk of the distraction. And so I would encourage families to sit down and have a look at what their children are doing on their phones during the school day to really understand where is the point of distraction. And they'll start to understand that they're not using those devices to call home or to communicate about needing rides. They're using them for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of those are anchored in social media.
Another great point that you mentioned there, Kate, just a moment ago, was how once you get to middle school, once you get to high school, the perception of cell phones and cell phone use does change. And if I'm looking at the guidance here, I'm going to read just a section concerning what it means for middle school students, what the recommendations are for middle school. It's generally to remove cell phones from the school day or classroom, but the interesting paragraph I'm going to read says, quote, "Possession of cell phones in this age group is likely to be viewed as a rite of passage into adulthood, so
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Application and application of policies that restrict use must be developed in consideration of the specific challenges of middle school students. Kate, what does that mean, specific challenges of middle school students?
Well, I think we recognize that developmentally in that sort of early teenage years, you're looking at there's sort of a status associated with their devices, right? I have this. I'm now a young adult, and so that's where we know that, like in my hometown in Manchester, they started utilizing the Yonder pouches. And one of the reasons that was seen as a really good middle ground is that students didn't want to hand their devices over. They didn't want to be putting them somewhere during the day. They liked the idea of having them with themselves. And so the pouches created sort of this opportunity to say, you can have your device, you just can't access it. And realizing, like, you know, we didn't necessarily need to separate the student from the physical device to get the outcome we needed. And so I think there was this notion of realizing what this phone meant to these children. I also think it's the appropriate point where we actually start having conversations with students where, you know, again, in Manchester, they went through a period of conversation about why we're restricting these, what we hope to accomplish, what is the challenge, and they had the conversation with the students. And I think that's a really critical component of all of this. When we communicate our goals and our objectives of why we're doing this, people tend to understand. We need to not underestimate our young people, too. Often they understand and can understand the vision and the articulation. They understand the distraction. They also have, you know, again, we're talking about developing the impulse control, developing that maturity. They're not there yet, and that's appropriate developmentally. 13-year-olds are pushing boundaries. They're trying to figure things out. That's developmentally appropriate. So what we need to do is make sure our boundaries are clear, specific, and really, you know, we're willing to talk about them with the students as well. So I think as we kind of progress through this, the student voice in the process hopefully gets stronger, and the communication around it becomes really inclusive, because kids can understand this. You know, my experience with teenagers is that when you talk to them and you explain what's going on, they don't have to always like it and agree with you to understand it, right? Like, they get, okay, you know, all right, Mrs. Diaz, I get it. You know, my phone is a distraction. I get it. And you can say that to them, and they go, they know what they're doing. They're not foolish. They understand. But it's whether or not they can control the impulse to do it. And so I think that's where we're really talking about, okay, what does this look like in a classroom? And how much time? I think one of the things that we've really recognized is that the constant monitoring and policing of cell phones takes time away from instruction. And in places where we've seen either the bans or the implementation of the Yonder pouches, both students and teachers comment on how much time they've regained in the instructional practice. Which is really important. Time is the most valuable asset we have in a classroom. And if we're squandering it, kind of playing whack-a-mole with cell phone devices, that takes away from the opportunities to learn. And so I think that's one of the pieces that both teachers and students comment on when we've seen these kind of bans or pouches, or kind of we're not having these devices out during the day. We've seen that has been a significant change. We've also seen a reduction in some of the bullying. We've seen reduction in incidents of physical violence. We've seen reduction in suspension. You know, there's a lot of positives that outweigh kind of the concerns in many regards.
She's Kate Diaz, the president of the Connecticut Education Association, and I'm Morgan Cunningham. You're listening to Face Connecticut. We're talking about back to school, and a lot of the focus this year is on new guidance that schools can adopt or consider, at least, when it comes to cell phones in school. We've talked about elementary, we've talked about middle school, and I'd like to talk about high school for a moment, because it changes yet again with this next step up in grade level. The focus is on still keeping it restrictive, but less restrictive, and the policy, according to the text that I'm reading, should reflect student use in class, that it should not be used, turned off, and kept out of sight in classroom environments. But it does make note that, obviously, the big concern in high school is inappropriate and illegal use of cell phone technology, and also arise in cyberbullying. So there's this balance on students knowing when it's okay, maybe during a break, to use a phone, but not in class, but also to be mindful of cyberbullying, for instance.
Well, and we know that's real, right? We know that sort of the intensity of exposure really creates challenges. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when I went to high school a few years ago, a little longer than 10 years, but when I was in high school, you know, bullying is not a new item, right?
No.
Students have had these experiences forever. All you have to do is read The Outsiders to know this has been going on since there have been schools. However, what is different is the around-the-clock access to each other. So where at one point you could get some reprieve, some break from each other, you know, where just, okay, I'm sick of you. We're tired of each other, but we go home at the end of the day and we have a break. Now, the persistence of, you know, access, the idea that around the clock I can throw information out into the cyber world that is hostile and aggressive towards another individual, and I can do it with some layer of anonymity, right? I don't have to look you in the face. I can just toss out nastiness on Instagram or TikTok, and I can just make it accessible to everybody else in the world. And this idea that it is always and constant, I think, is taking a toll on our young people. And I think it's really hard to tune all that noise out for the kids. And I would say that, you know, probably 2 years ago, I would have had a different conversation with you about how we should be training our high school students, you know, kind of teaching them to be mature users of cell phones and things like that. And I think that just has become harder and harder and harder. And that the nuance of that needs to be, I think, to some extent, managed by families. For us, I think, as educators, I think there's a lot of logic to us saying, we're not doing, you know, put the phone away. We're not accessing it. You don't need it. We have plenty of computers and Chromebooks. If we need to use technology, we have a lot of devices we can access that are not your cell phones, that we as educators have a lot more ability to monitor and control. Let's put those devices, let's put that noise away and focus on the work of learning. And I think we're hearing more and more from our educators that they want stronger policies that are more absolute, that allow us to enforce, let's learn why we are in school, let's focus on this, let's kind of take the clutter of the internet out of it and really focus on the work that we want to be doing. And I think, you know, that's just become stronger and stronger as the research continues to tell us that our young people are being harmed, and that we're, if we choose to continue to not do anything, we're complicit in that harm. And that doesn't sit well with any of us. So that's where I think we're starting to see this real stronger push and a greater interest in really releasing students from these devices during the school day and saying, we're going to focus on school because that's what we should be doing.
Kate, I know that this has eaten up much of our call on back to school 2024 into 2025, and rightly so. It is a big topic, and it's brand new to us here in Connecticut, this guidance that the State Department of Education put out. I guess the final question I have about it, and it might eat up the rest of our program, is how does this get implemented, okay? So the state shared some sample policies from Torrington, Milford, Lisbon. You mentioned Manchester and the Yonder pouches. So what's next? If a school wants to implement this, it's my understanding it's not required of them, but how do they actually begin to implement and enforce a ban on cell phones or restrictions on cell phones?
Well, I would say that the best case scenario, the places that have implemented most successfully, have done so by putting their intention out to the students, to the teachers, the educators in the community, and invited parents to also be a part of that conversation. I think the probably worst way to do this would be to announce on September 1st, we are banning cell phones. I think people don't know why always. There could be miscommunication, misunderstanding. And I think the best case scenario is that districts that are implementing bans or some sort of programming this fall started thinking about that last spring. They started having conversations. They talked about this. They thought it through. They thought through, what does the enforcement of this policy look like? How are we going to do this in a way that doesn't, that builds bridges, not walls, between members of our community? How do we do this? I would say that anybody who has not started that process yet should look at the guidance. And they should start having those conversations. I certainly support a full scale across the state, that we would be doing this work together, that we would be talking about what does limiting cell phone use during the school day look like, and what are the programs and policies we're willing to implement with fidelity, because we have to follow through. If we say there's no cell phones during the school day, we need to have and be prepared for what does that actually look like. You know, somebody's going to challenge you. A student is going to look at you and go, no. So what are we going to do then? And I think we have to be prepared as the adults and as the community to be able to answer those questions. We have to have those conversations, particularly with our high school students and our middle school students, to say, listen, guys, this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is your role. This is your responsibility in this part of the plan. So I think anybody who wants to should be starting that conversation now. There's nothing to say people couldn't put in a policy at the half-year point after having conversations and get this moving. But I certainly know from my educator's perspective, across the board, strong policy is something we would love to engage with and talk about implementing.
Kate, I've really appreciated your insight on this issue. Definitely an important one and a major one. We'll probably be talking about it certainly in the next coming months and the next year, and probably next year when we do this show again, as we've done the last few years, we'll probably talk about it some more and see how it's working, and we'll review it. And I look forward to doing that with you. My last question for you, what are some other issues, if you could just run through some bullet points that the CEA is paying attention to when it comes to back to school 24?
So we're really focusing in on our teachers' number one issue, which is stress and burnout, making sure that we're finding as many ways as we can to rebalance the work of the educator. We have kind of, throughout the pandemic, continued to inundate our teachers with responsibility that is not necessarily appropriately theirs. So we are really looking to rebalance, to reduce the amount of stress for our educators, because we want to keep them in classrooms, we want to keep them in the school systems for as long as we possibly can to encourage their careers. And so we're going to be having a lot of conversations about what does that look like and how do we do that in a way that serves our students best. We know that healthy, happy educators create classroom environments that are exciting and vibrant and great to learn in. And so we know that to support our educators is to support our students. And so we're going to be looking at that as a real key issue in this coming year, because we know how valuable high-quality educators are, and so we want to preserve and protect them and make sure that the environments we're building are conducive to students as well as the educators.
Kate, I appreciate you coming on Face Connecticut with me this week, and I look forward to, again, following not just the cell phone issue, but the burnout issue and other problems that teachers are facing as we go through the next school year, okay?
Terrific. I look forward to coming back, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.